let's get started tonight. Welcome back to the Murrayville Baptist Church. I'm telling you, I didn't know what was going to happen, if we was going to have to open up the fellowship hall for some people tonight. I've been getting surprised here. I thought last Sunday might be a max, and then we had 20 more today than we had last Sunday. The Lord's good. I appreciate His grace to us. More than that, more than the crowd, I appreciate the Lord being here this morning. I don't just say that. I mean that with all my heart. There can be two of us in here as long as He's here. And I've been in crowds of 1,000, and He ain't been nowhere around. Can I get a witness? Amen. So I'm grateful for the Lord's grace, the mercy. Thank you for being here tonight. This is a very special service. Say howdy to the Knights. Good to see y'all, family. Amen. Very special service. Hey, buddy. Hey, sweetheart. Very special service tonight. Communion evening. I want to invite you to that. And here in just a moment, we'll get started with that. Brother Terry's going to come around. I want to get sincere before the Lord this evening. And it's a special service, ordinance of the church. And matter of fact, we'll be doing two of them today by the end of the day. Baptism this morning. Wasn't that a blessing? Hearing from Brother Matt. Brother Matt and them were gone. They had scheduled trip vacation months ago, or some time ago. So anyway, they're not here. Pray for them as they're traveling. So much to pray for. So many to pray for in the service. And we want to have a word of prayer here in a little bit and go to the Lord shortly. But let's go ahead and get started with some singing. And Brother Terry, you come on around, and we will go from there. Amen. Let's get our hearts ready for communion tonight.
Right. Let's all stand. Page 378.
As He has promised, so will it do. O sinner, hear Him, trust in His word, then He will pass through, pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, love is but that power. Jesus is true. Oh, we'll be living safe from the storm. Oh, He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood,
you will remain standing. Let's do one more, page 264.
Sacred and for such a word as I. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crime that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown and of me on degree. At the cross, may I push for the light, and the burden of my heart put away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart put away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Let's let our special singing come on tonight. Appreciate the Lord. You can be seated tonight, church. We want to get sincere for a moment and, well, live sincere. And young sister Satterfield's going to come sing for us tonight. Thank the Lord for her. And let's get our minds set for just a little while, church. I'll mention about communion just here in a moment. Want to make sure we get on tonight. But you pray for her as she sings. Lord blesses her and touch her. And let's get our hearts settled tonight. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Thank the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The book of Luke tonight, chapter number 22. The book of Luke, chapter number 22. I'd ask you to turn there for just a moment. We'll be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 as well, verses 23 through 30. But We'll look firstly in Luke chapter number 22. And to give you some context of this great moment, solemn moment, I could preach the rest of my life from this text. And we all could preach the rest of our ministries from this text and all that's going on, what's happening here. Of course, you know, these are the last few moments of our Lord's life. The apostles are coming now to prepare in Luke chapter number 22. And then, of course, Judas is going to go out, betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, the day of unleavened bread was upon them, and the Passover was being prepared. Of course, as they were preparing the lamb at the temple for the Passover, God, the Son of God, was preparing himself to be the Passover lamb. The last sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could wash away sin, Jesus Christ. Verse number 7 of Luke chapter number 22, the Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they say unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meets you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. You shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there. Make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, where Paul deals with the subject of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Before we take part at the table, let us remember some things. Let us think on some things. Let us dwell on some things. Namely, out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and verse number 23, where Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. What we're doing tonight is a command and a desire for the Lord, for his body and his church to do till he comes again. And we must continue to do it, to remember what has been done in the gospel for you and I. The breaking of his body. Oh, he was crushed. He went to Gethsemane, which is to say the crushing place or the press where they would press that those olives. And not only would they press those olives, we get a picture maybe of a grape just being squished and everything still intact, just everything that was on the inside was on the outside. No. When they crushed these olives at the Garden of Gethsemane, which is what this garden was, it was a garden of olive trees, olive branches rather, if you'll have it. And they took olives from off the branches and they would crush them so that the olives couldn't even recognize the olives anymore. And the Lord Jesus Christ, his body was so broken. The scripture tells us that his visage was marred more than any man. What does that mean? That means that if you saw Jesus the day before his suffering and then saw him during his suffering, you would not even be able to recognize that it was a man. Not only would you not recognize him, but you couldn't even recognize that he was a man. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And so every time we come to this table, we stop for a moment. We pump the brakes. We settle in. We think on the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means that he was bruised, that he was afflicted. This text here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul saying that we should do this to remember his broken body and remember his blood after the same manner, verse number 25. This do oft as you remember the blood that was shed. How many millions and millions upon top of millions and millions and millions of gallons was blood shed up to this point in the tabernacle and in the temple? And they still gave no remission of sin. There was a covering of sin. There was a price that would be paid, but sin was never fully dealt with, you understand. But on the cross, as Jesus' body was crushed and his blood was shed, this blood, for after the blood of the goats and heifers, sprinkle unclean, if they shall sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And when Christ shed his blood, that precious blood that satisfied God, the pure blood of Christ, the pure blood of God. For it was the blood of God, perfect, undefiled. And we approach this table tonight to remember the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the cup that we'll drink from tonight signifies the cup of the New Testament in his blood. And we will remember him. Now, let me say this, in verse number 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Listen to this. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Tonight, before we approach this table, it would do us well, and I want to give an opportunity for us to pray here in just a few moments. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Let's not approach this table haphazardly because it's an ordinance of the Lord, and it's what we do, and it's how the church does. It's how the church operates. You know, once every 2 or 3 months, we'll eat a little bread and drink a little juice, and we'll go to the house. No, let us examine ourselves. This is the table we come to, not to examine our brother, not to examine our sister, not to examine things that you may disagree with your brother on your right or your sister on your left or vice versa. Tonight is the night that we examine ourselves. I wonder how warm is our hearts to Calvary, to the Christ of Calvary. How often, how long has it been since we've thought of His crushing, the breaking of His body, the blood that was shed that did pay that atonement price, that was shed for the remission of your sins. And when you came to Him, He washed you clean. The Old Testament referred to our sins being cast into the sea of non-remembrance, of God's forgiveness. In the New Testament, the Word of God teaches us that when He saves us, our sins are gone, washed, overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ, of a person. It was the person's body that was prepared for the moment of sacrifice, of crushing. It was this person's blood that was shed. Your blood would do no good. My blood would do no good. We often draw out the example of, would you give your child to save the entire world from hell? And what's the answer to that? No, you wouldn't. But I'll go a step beyond that this evening. Would you give your child? I'd like to say that your child could not save humanity. Because inside of your child and inside of every child here, inside of every man, woman, boy and girl here, there's a corrupt nature. And the only thing that could rescue us and save us is this body that was broken. This blood that was shed. And as His body was crushed and as His blood was shed, His blood wasn't spilled. His blood was shed. They didn't kill Jesus Christ. He laid down His life. They didn't murder Him, beloved. He laid His life down and He had power to take it up. And matter of fact, 3 days later, that's exactly what He done. He got out of the grave. Last night, I was fumbling around. I told y'all this morning on Google Earth, I can go down a rabbit hole looking at different places around the world. I have a great desire to travel, and some of you have been there to the Holy Land. I have not. Hope to go one day, but this garden tomb sat and sits today empty. He is not there. This Jesus whose body was crushed, whose blood was shed, so that you and I, this price, this guilt that we have, this sin that stood before God and would be judged, was judged in His body. He drank the cup of sin and wrath and took upon Himself the sin of the world. And because of this, He submitted Himself unto the wrath of God. And Jesus Christ suffered the wrath of Almighty God on Golgotha. On Calvary. His body was crushed.
His blood was shed. And you and I deserve that wrath. You and I deserve the cat o' nine tails. Our flesh being filleted from our back. That crown of thorns platted on our head. Oh, tonight this Savior came because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you and I are here. And that's why we gather around this table to remember what Jesus has done for you and I. We should not come unworthily, the Bible says. Three things. This is a serious service. Number one, we're not to partake of this bread in a haphazard way. That's what that means, in an unworthy manner. It's a serious business what we're doing tonight. Serious service. Secondly, tonight, we've already covered some of this. It's a self-observing service. God forbid that we come to this service and have any known coldness in our life. And if there is, Lord, help us to come. To come tonight and ask the Lord here in a moment to draw our hearts. Let us approach this service, thirdly and lastly, with sincerity. Savior, exalting, Christ, looking, gazing, sincerity. Tonight, I don't know about you, but my heart is prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I'm telling you, we can be in a good service, and 5 minutes before we even get out the door, maybe our mind has drifted somewhere. Tomorrow we'll wake up and face the world again one more time. But tonight, let us linger for a moment and think on this Christ. Think on His body and think on His blood and the great love that was shed abroad, that has been shed abroad to us. When Christ arose from the grave and commands all men everywhere to believe and repent on Him. And when we come to Him, He makes us a new creature because of the body that was crushed and broken, because of the blood that was shed. He makes us a new creature. Christ indwells us. We've been made alive to the Lord God, to the Holy Spirit of God, to Jesus Christ. And we approach this service with sincerity, thanking God and worshiping God and exalting the Savior that did not have to do what He did. But He did it. Well, I've quoted it at least. This will be the third time I've given this story since I've been pastor here. But my dear friend, Brother Chris Sims, he was there at my ordination that night. Some of y'all may remember him. He prayed over me, laid hands on me at the altar. A precious man. His son and he was getting ready for church, and his son said, "Daddy, why are we getting clothes on and getting ready for church?" "Well, son, we get ready on Sunday morning to go to the Lord's house, and we go to church on Sunday morning." He said, "Daddy, why do we go to church on Sunday morning?" He thought on that, Brother Chris did, and he said, "Well, son, we go to worship the Lord. We go to remember His resurrection. We go to praise Him, to worship Him, to gather with the church, the body. Worship the Lord and exalt Him and learn of Him." He said, "Daddy, why do we go to church to worship Him?" And Brother Chris thought on that and said, "I got a good answer for that." He said, "Because Jesus loves us, this we know, for the Bible tells us so. He loved us and He gave Himself for us and he died for us." And little Elisha said, "Well, Daddy, why did He die for us?" Brother Chris said, "I got a good answer for this. This will squash this right here. This will be done. We'll be finished. We'll finish this conversation. We'll get in the car and we'll go on to church if I can just get him to hush right here." He said, "What?" Elisha said, "Why did He die for us, Daddy?" Brother Chris looked at him and said, "Because He loved us, son. Because He loved us. Because He loves us. Died for us." was bruised for us. And Elisha just sat there thinking on that. He'd kept on asking these questions. And you could see the wheels spinning, Brother Chris said. Here's what he said. Elisha said, "Daddy, why does he love us?" Brother Chris said, with tears rolling down his eyes, he said, "I don't know, son. I don't know. And I don't know why he loves me, Brother Marnie. I don't know why he loves us. I can't give account for that. It's the greatest mystery in the universe, Brother Derek, that Jesus loves me. That Jesus would love you. And that is why we rejoice. And that is why Paul asked that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what the hope of his calling, that the inward man would be strengthened, and that we might know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God." I want to give us an opportunity to pray right now. If there's anything in your heart that you can think of that maybe is between you and the Lord, maybe there's some coldness, lukewarmness, apathy. I challenge you tonight to ask the Lord to warm your heart to what we're about to partake in here, to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So tonight, as the piano plays softly, sister, if you would, just play softly. Let's all gather around the church. If you plan on taking communion,